إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى mentioned his messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the mu'mineen and given them a ni'mah, and that ni'mah is that he sent among them, from among them, he sent to them, from among them, min anfusihim, a messenger who was from them, meaning he was human and one of them, and he sent that messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to those people from amongst them people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned four steps and four related things that the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given as a task to do. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi, to do the tilawat of the ayat which were revealed to him, to read to them, to recite to them the kalam of Allah. Wa yuzakkihim, and to purify them. Wa yuallimuhumul kitab, and then to teach them the book. Wal hikmah, and to teach them wisdom. If you reflect on this, these are not four separate things. These are four steps which result in the implementation of Islam in our lives. And the way I like to describe these four things is inform, prepare, instruct, demonstrate. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi, inform them about the ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimu salah. Hukum of Allah has come, establish prayer, establish salah. The Nabi recites the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said this. Wa yuzakkihim, prepare. Prepare what? Prepare them, now they heard the kalam, prepare them to actually receive the kalam in their lives. And to be able to receive the kalam in their life, they have to purify themselves. To use the same analogy of salah, that preparation, that tazkiyah has to do externally with the body, with ghusl, with wudu and so forth, cleanliness of the clothes, cleanliness of the place of prayer. And then also internally, in terms of tazkiyatun nafs, purification of the heart and cleaning the heart from all kinds of evils and diseases, some of which we mentioned yesterday. And that's the tazkiyah, yuzakkihim. And then what? Yuallimuhumul kitab. Allah said, aqimu salah. But what is salah? Teach them what is the meaning of this ayah, which shows us very clearly that even though the people who received the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were the people for whom that language was their language. The Sahaba did not read a translation of the Quran. They received it in the language. It came in their language. And they were the experts of that language. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Nabi, teach them the book. Yu'allimuhumul kitab. So it shows that it is not just sufficient to read the ayah and think that you have understood it. If you really want to understand the ayat of the Quran, you have to go to the explanation of the Nabi. How did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explain that ayah? How did he understand this ayah? So what is the meaning of salah? What is supposed to be understood by salah? And then, wal hikmah, demonstrate, inform, prepare, instruct, and demonstrate. And what did he do with salah? He said, pray as you see me pray. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni yusalli. Pray as you see me pray. So how do we pray? We pray, what is the correct method of salah? It is the method that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. All these four together, if you, using the same example of salah, if you do all of these four things together, which is that you know what is the order of Allah, you prepare yourself to receive the order of Allah, you understand the order of Allah, and you get the demonstration of the order of Allah, which means you follow that, then that Islam comes into your life. Only if you take all these four steps together, can we actually stand and establish salah. If you leave out any of these, then obviously we cannot establish salah. So it is not four separate things, it is four steps, it's a process, it's a four-step process. Which is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent with His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam with. Now, why is this important? Because this is important to understand, so that we understand the importance of the sunnah. What is the importance of sunnah? Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized following the sunnah over and over and over so many times? Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only emphasized the following of the sunnah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised reward like He did not promise for anything else? For nothing else did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that I will love the person who does that. Not for salah, not for sawm, not for hajj. Allah did not say you make hajj and Allah will love you. No. You make hajj, Allah will give you reward. He will wipe out all your sins and so on, and you will be as if you were born on the first day. But Allah did not say you make hajj and I will love you. No. The only thing for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah will love you is for following the sunnah. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them, say to these people who claim to love Allah. Many people over the years, many people in history, many people across the worlds and different cultures have claimed to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this country, in India, there's a part of our history is what is known as the Bhakti movement. And you had some big, you had Kabir Das, and you had Mirabai, and you have various other people who claimed to love Allah. And that's what they called Bhakti. Right? The whole movement. I mean, they wrote reams of poetry and all kinds of things. And in praise of God and in praise of the love for, love for God and whatnot. Right? But is this acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Your and my claiming, and that's what the ayat of the Quran is, that your and my claiming to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no meaning. You can claim, anybody can claim anything. What has meaning is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah said, say to them, who claim to love me, to follow you. Tell them, follow me. Make my ittiba. He did not say, obey me. Atiur Rasul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this in many other places. May utiur Rasulah, faqad ata Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, the one who obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah. So obedience to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is part of our deen, part of our aqidah, and therefore that is not something that but in this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing what? Ittiba. Now what is the difference between ittiba and ita'at? Ita'at or obedience needs an order. Obedience needs an order. If I say, please get me a glass of water, I'm asking you, I'm making a request, I'm giving an instruction, giving an order, whatever it is. So now, you have to decide. Do I want to obey this or I don't want to obey this? You obey this, you are obedient, you don't obey this, you are disobedient. So there has to be an order. Without giving the instruction, if I simply tell you, you are not obeying me. If I tell Talha, you are not obeying me. What's he going to say? He said, what do you want me to do? I said, no, you're not obeying me. You haven't told me anything. You didn't give me any instruction. How can you say I'm not obeying you? Right? Maybe after you give the instructions, I will choose to disobey you. That's a different matter. But as of now, you have not told me anything. So you can't say I'm not obeying you. Itaat requires a instruction. Ittiba is an expression of love. Ittiba does not require an instruction. Ittiba is an expression of love. Ittiba is imitation. Ittiba is not obedience. Ittiba is imitation. Who do you imitate? Who does anybody imitate? People you love or people you hate? Love. Whoever it is. I mean, you might imitate film actors or, you know, sports people, or you might imitate whoever, right? You might imitate your grandfather, who knows? But the point is that you imitate somebody who you love. And imitation does not require instructions. The person you love, who you imitate, might even be dead. Right? You might be imitating Charlie Chaplin, for example. I mean, Charlie Chaplin is dead and gone. I mean, but you imitating Charlie because you like his style or whatever, right? So the person might not even be alive. Or the person might be alive. For example, you might imitate Michael Jordan, who is alive, but does he know you exist? He doesn't even know who you are, you know. But you like his style, you like the way he wears his basketball cap or something, or, you know, you say, oh, Michael Jordan wears these N1 shoes or something, sneakers, so I was going to buy them. Huh? So you imitate somebody you love. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if you imitate the one I love, then I will love you. If you imitate my Habib, then you become my Habib. I will love you. Yuhibbukum Allah. Allah did not say Allah will be pleased with you. Allah will give you thawab. There could be many ways of saying it, no? If you imitate the Nabi, if you make ittiba of the Nabi, Allah will give you thawab, Allah will give you Jannah, Allah will not take your hisab. All of this would have been good, alhamdulillah. I mean, you know, who wants hisab? So if Allah says, I will not take hisab, alhamdulillah. But Allah did not say any of that. Allah said, Allah will love you. Now just reflect on this, just think about this. What is the meaning if Allah loves you? Seriously, think about that. You know, reflect on it, sit on it, sleep over it. What does it mean if Allah loves you? If you are a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, what does it mean? We have the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a slave, he calls Jibreel alayhi salam and he says to him that I love so and so. And Jibreel alayhi salam announces this among the malaika, and the malaika love that person. And then this information is sent down to the earth, and love for that individual is established in the hearts of the inhabitants of the earth. And in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not even say love for the person is established among the people. He said inhabitants of the earth. Everybody. All of creation. That's only one aspect of what happens if Allah loves you. What do you think happens to your dua if Allah loves you? What kind of a death do you think you will have if Allah loves you? What kind of a life do you think you will have if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you? What do you think will happen with regard to difficulties in life if Allah loves you? What do you think will happen if you are in your qabr if Allah loves you? When the angels come to question. When the angel comes to question. And they say, Man Rabbuk. Who is your Rabb? He is the one who loves me. Go ask him. Go ask him. And all of this for what? For imitating Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she said that there is nobody who imitates and there is no one who follows the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah. She said that Abdullah ibn Umar loves Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that he follows every single thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. And some of the things that Abdullah ibn Umar, which have been reported from him, are amazing. There's one incident which is reported where Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was riding on his camel and he came to a particular place. And he made the camel do two turns and he made the camel sit down, he got off the camel and he prayed two rakat of salah. So people said, what kind of strange behavior is this? Your camel goes around two times and you are praying, why are you doing that? He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to this place once and I saw his camel made two turns and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got off the camel and he prayed two rakat of salah. So I am doing it. And I imagine this. I can even understand praying two rakat of salah. Okay, this place, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed, so I pray. But the camel making him do two, I mean, maybe Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's camel felt like doing two turns. Who knows? I mean, you know, a camel is a camel. What goes in the mind of a camel? Who knows? But this was the level of the love that Sahaba had for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and especially people like Abdullah ibn Umar and others. They did not even think, because the condition of love is the suspension of logic. Yeah? People who love go crazy. They do all kinds of crazy things in love, no? The suspension of I forgot my own quote. What did I say? Suspension of logic. But before that is what? Anyway, I'm saying the sign of love, for example, alright? The sign of love is the, yeah, it got recorded in the first time, we'll see what it is, but this, the presence of love, loving somebody is the suspension of love. People don't think, when they are in love, they don't think. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that if you love my Nabi, just do whatever he did. Don't think. Is it logical, not logical, doesn't matter, just do it. Do it only because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. Whatever his reason for doing it. And the reward of that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. And with that I want to end, because I think some of these things we should think about them. There is no need to talk and say more. What has to be said has been said. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to these great secrets of success, not only in this life, but also in the life of the hereafter. Because if we understand the secret of success and if we live by it, then we are successful in this life and the next life. Right? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to save us from that which displeases Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.